This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Jen Sun. We're turning our attention now to what's happening over in oil markets. Oil prices had a good run in 2022. We saw Brent crude oil prices hitting a high of $128 per barrel in March during the height of the Russian-Ukraine war. But it has given up all of its gains, and currently it's actually flat. Year-to-date, spot prices are now under $80 per barrel.
Meanwhile, the group of seven nations, Australia and the 27 European Union states imposed a $60 per barrel price cap on Russian seaborne crude oil this week in an attempt to punish Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. Now, this has resulted in oil tankers forming a traffic jam. I didn't even know that was possible. Off the coast of Turkey on day one of this price cap, with Ankara insisting on new proof of insurance for all vessels. Now, will this price cap work? And how will Russia retaliate? And what does this then mean for oil prices in the medium term, especially since China is looking to reopen its borders in 2023?
For some insights into this, we speak to TJ Liao, Regional Oil and Gas Analyst at Maybank Investment Bank. Good morning, TJ. Thanks for joining us. Now, do you think the price cap of $60 per barrel imposed by the EU on Russian oil will achieve its objectives? The price is already close to where Russian oil was trading due to financial restrictions and corporate self-sanctioning. So will it actually make much of a difference?
Hi, good morning. I believe that this is basically a statement of intent by the group. But having said that, in all actual fact, I think it's pretty impractical in a general sense, in a way that when the whole world is basically facing a short of supply of oil, I think energy security remains the main mantra for most of the countries in the world. And there is still not a viable substitute for oil now at the current moment. And if you look at the way renewable energies is forming up, it is still not being able to replace oil as a energy source for now. So in a way, both sides have made their statement, but we think that it's pretty impractical for the time being.
And TJ, how will this price cap be policed and monitored? Is the proof of insurance a sufficient measure?
I think it will be tough to police or to monitor or to basically put into place. If you were to look at the Russia's export dynamics, basically the main importers of Russia's oil come from the Europe as well as China, and they basically make roughly about half of the Russia's exports. So in a way, Europe reduces their dependency or their purchase from Russia, I think there will be a lot of countries in the world that will be paying for Russia's oil in a way whereby if you look at the market now, the demand and supply dynamics is pretty tight, and supply is not forthcoming at the moment. We have not seen any new field being developed or new productions being made over the past few years, whereby the world was facing structural issues since 2014.
Now, TJ, Russia has come out to say that it rejects any cap on its oil prices and it would not affect its ability to finance the war in Ukraine. But do you expect Russia to retaliate?
I think for Russia, I think to them, I think if I were to be Russia, I think I would find an alternative buyer for my oil. I think for that itself, it makes more commercial sense. It's more practical. And if you were to look at the about 2.5 to 2 million or 3 million barrels per day of oil that Europe is taking out and potentially not being taken out by them, I think there'll be buyers for this part of their oil.
And OPEC has decided against cutting production, preferring to keep things status quo at the moment. What's the rationale for their current strategy, and at what point do you think they will maybe change tact or change approach?
If we were to look at OPEC Plus recent development since 2020, I think they have emerged stronger as a pack. They are very disciplined. They have learned their lesson from 2020. Whereby this agreement has led to the fallout and also the collapse of the oil price. We saw that back in 2020 March when oil price tumbled. So with better discipline now, what we are seeing now is that OPEC Plus has practically asserted themselves as a swing producer. They will manage production in terms of managing oil price. Even if you look at oil price now, even at $80 per barrel, I think it's still very healthy for the oil and gas industry. Most of the oil companies are making money. The service providers are enjoying the benefits of it as well. And things are the way things are going, I think $70 to $80 is still a very healthy oil price to be in. CapEx is still forthcoming. So we believe that this could be a very good cycle for the oil and gas market this time around.
And TJ, US has been releasing its oil reserves, especially in the run-up to the midterm elections, in an attempt to keep prices low. Do you think this strategy will backfire?
I think if you were to look at the SPR that US were releasing their strategy reserves, I think we all know that this SPR is basically an energy security for all the nations. So it doesn't make sense for them to basically release their supply just to basically make oil price lower, because at the end of the day, that's the reason why it's called an SPR per se.
I have a question about oil prices. What's your base case forecast for oil prices in 2023 and maybe even a bull case, considering that China's reopening, but at the same time, there might be a shallow recession in the US?
I think this is where OPEC Plus comes in. As a swing producer, they could manage production whenever to meet supply, to meet demand either way. But I think we are looking at the way things are going fundamentally. We are more positive on the market, especially the oil. We are looking at $100 per barrel environment for 2023. Like you rightly pointed out, China's reopening will basically be good for the oil market in terms of additional consumption. So I think they'll practically be good. But having said that, in terms of recession, like you mentioned, this is where OPEC's role come in. They could basically reduce their or increase their production whenever oil price remains too elevated. So it's vice versa per se for now. But having said that, if you were to look at OPEC Plus's production versus their quota, they have been basically producing their quota recently. So in a way, the market tightness is real. If you look at it, there is no new supply coming in. So in a way, that is where we think that the oil market will continue to remain elevated and healthy. That will be beneficial for the oil and gas sector per se.
And TJ, what segments of the oil supply chain are in a particular sweet spot and that you are most bullish on? What are your top stock picks and why?
Okay, for the oil and gas industry, in terms of the value chains itself, most of the service providers are enjoying positive moments now. But in particular, I think we like this FPSO sector. What we are seeing here now is that there is a very acute tightness in terms of capacity to basically take on new projects. Companies that are basically experienced with balance sheet will do well. What we are seeing in that space itself is that there is a very strong support from the clients to get projects done, i.e. In most of the contracts, there are practically upfront payments now for them to kickstart project. This is basically a sign of very positive projects coming in. More projects coming in, but very minimal yet FPSO service providers to basically take on these jobs. So in that space itself, I think in Malaysia, we are lucky to have two companies that are in that space, companies which are called Yinsen as well as Bumi Armada.
All right, TJ, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was TJ Liao, Regional Oil and Gas Analyst at Maybank Investment Bank, giving us his outlook for oil markets as we head into the year end and into the new year. It is 7:47 in the morning. We're heading into a couple of messages. When we come back, can the unity government stay united? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.